Job 19:25, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth." Psalm 16:11, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Psalm 23, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." From Psalm 73, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Jesus, speaking to Mary, said, "I am the resurrection life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? And John 14, which will be the passage for our message today, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Amen. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Shall we pray? Father, we just thank you for this time of remembrance and of Thanksgiving, a time when we can remember the life of Gary and the impact he had on so many people. And also, we thank you, Lord, that he's in glory. We do not grieve because at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We grieve because of the loss of his companionship and friendship and love. But we know that this is only temporary. And because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a home in heaven prepared for us. And that someday we will all be together. All those that know the Lord Jesus as Savior will be gathered together before your throne. And we'll have a home in heaven with you. We look forward to that day. Meantime, we pray that you would give your comfort and grace and strength each day, Lord, until you call us home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The hour I first toils and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be. As life endures, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first be.
Okay, at this time I'm going to ask Megan to come up and read a thank you and obituary of Gary. She's going to try.
I just wrote a letter to the staff of the assisted living, and it said, "We would first like to thank everyone for all that you do for our family and cannot describe what a blessing it truly is. With great sorrow, we regret to inform you that our family's rock, Gary, has passed and is now in God's never-ending light with no pain or suffering, only joy and love. Gary was a husband, father, grandfather, and great-grandfather, brother, and uncle. He was our everything, holding us together, providing for those he loved, sacrificing selflessly for our happiness for years. It was truly an honor to be a part of his life and learn from the wisdom he had to share. In our faith, hearts, and memories, he will live on, and we will try to adjust our lives without his physical presence. Gary was born on February 21st, 1941, and raised in Evansville, Indiana. Gary had two brothers, Bud and Danny, as well as three sisters, Judy, Diane, and Cheryl. At 19, he married his wife, Kay, and raised his two sons, Greg and Gary Jr., and a daughter, Deanna. As time went on, his family grew, and he became a grandfather to a granddaughter, Megan, and a grandson, Jordan, and then a great-granddaughter, Kaylee. Gary was a salesman for Hoover for many years and was a grain inspector foreman at his retirement. We would like to thank you for your great care that he received and leave you with these words. Safely home. I am in heaven, dear ones, oh so happy and bright. There is perfect joy and beauty in this everlasting light. All the pain and grief is over, every restless toss past. I am at peace forever, safely home at last." Thank you.
Well, this is a sad and hard day, but there's hope. I was just blessed to have a dad that cared for me and loved me, stayed with my mom through the years. As I remember my dad, he was always a provider. He was always there, fed me, Earth Day took care of me when I was sick. We were like running buddies. We did everything together. We were best friends. And he was just a hero to me. And I just glad. I want to thank God for the extra time that He gave us to spend together. And He loved me when I was unlovable, and I don't know what times I displeased Him, but He always welcomed me back. And I used to worry about Him in my dreams, worry about Him constantly. He used to, He'd put His hand up against the wall, and we didn't know why, but He was having heart pains, heart attacks. Well, 23 years ago, he had a major heart attack and had heart surgery. And I was a member of the Faith Church of the Nazarene. And I was always just wanting to be right there by Him, just worried about, if I was going to lose Him, if His soul was going to be right. And, I lost my way. And about 6 years ago, I had a major surgery. Dad was there with me the whole time. And we both got sick about the same time. He got put on hospice. And he got down to 90 pounds. He only weighed 90 pounds. We both really thought we was going to die. But God gave us time together. And I want to thank God for the extended time that He gave us. And that God just didn't let us die in our sins. He gave us space of repentance and more time to share with each other. And He didn't let us die in our sins. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus. We never know. His days come up for all of us. We never know. So I try to number my days. I may gain a heart of wisdom. Deathbeds are coming for all of us. Oh, for the wonderful love of the Savior. Love He has promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, He has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. And I'm just glad Dad made the choice to believe God's report of His only begotten Son. And, we would sit and talk there at the end and spend all our time together. And he didn't know for sure. He didn't believe. He felt guilty for years because of his past. But, I like to know, in a certain song it says, He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the vilest clean. His blood availed for me. And it has no power over Dad. He went to Calvary. And we were singing songs and hymns together. And I'm glad he got off hospice long enough to God and His mercy and His goodness. There's no God compared to our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is higher than any other. Our God. Our God, He can move a mountain. He's mighty to save. Jesus is mighty to save. And it's just like Him to do things like that. He gave us a chance and led us to repentance. And he'll be greatly missed. And like Pastor Dan said, if we don't sorrow as others who have no hope. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. A flash, a moment, twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ will rise first. We which remain will meet Him in the air, so that we ever be with the Lord. I just cherish the last moments I spent with my dad. We spent almost all of our time together, and it's good to know that, one day for 45 minutes, we just sat on the bed singing hymns, talking about the Bible, and he said, could you imagine me doing this years ago? I'm just glad that he made Jesus his choice, and he loved the song, that I'm glad he knows who Jesus is now, and he's with him forever, encourages me to hold on to my faith, because it'd be my loss if I don't get to see Him, again. And He's there, and he always liked to sing this song. It's one of his favorite songs, so I'd like to sing it. He goes, everybody ought to know, everybody ought to know, everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. And something else that encouraged me is like King David, when he was at Sheba, and they had a son, and he didn't want to take it and accept it. He fasted, and finally when he lost, he said that he shall not come to me, but I shall go to him. So that's my hope, you know. I shall not see him, but I shall go and be with my dad in heaven with Jesus. And just don't give up on a brink of a miracle and praying. And then God answers prayer. And I'm sure Dad would like to tell everybody here to make Jesus your choice. And he lets you know everybody ought to know, because there's no God compared to him. And I love you, Dad, and I miss you. And I can't wait to be up there with you. Thank you, my wonderful Lord, for saving our souls and not letting us die lost and bringing us to repentance. In Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Megan and Greg, for sharing with us. That was very special, very special. I first met Gary a few years ago when he was at the nursing home in Eveleth, and Greg said, you know, my dad's in hospice. He is not expected to last very long, and so he wanted me to go see him, which I was happy to do. And I walked in the room, and he looked at me kind of suspiciously, like I was a vacuum cleaner salesman or something. So I said, "No, Gary. Greg asked me to come see you." And after that, he didn't throw me out of the room. He let me stay, and I was able to share John 3:16 with him, and pray with him, and. You know, the Lord did a miracle there, because he allowed Gary to recover enough to be able to be reunited with his wife Kay and with Greg at Clay Ridge, first of all, and then at more recently at Carefree Living. And every time I saw Gary after that, he smiled and was very friendly. And we had good visits about the Lord and about knowing how we could be sure of going to heaven. And because Jesus died for our sins. And before he died, Gary told me that he knew he was going to heaven. It was over in the hospital here in Aurora. Last time he was hospitalized, and Greg and I were there, and I said, "Well, how do you know that?" And he said, "Well, because Jesus died for me." And I asked him when he came to that assurance. Because I know before that he didn't have that assurance. As Greg said, that he had doubts and was worried that maybe all his sins weren't forgiven. And he said, "Well, because Greg helped me to understand, and I believed." And I think God had so worked in Greg's life to change him that Gary was willing to listen to him. And to take what he said seriously, and God's word seriously. And he told me more than once, he said, "I'm so proud of Greg." And Kay was too, that she's so proud of her son, how the Lord had worked in his life, and how encouraging that was. Now, in John 14, which I just read, where it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The background of this message that Jesus gave, This is also called the Upper Room Discourse, and it occurred the night that Jesus was betrayed and before he was crucified. And Jesus had already declared that Judas would betray him and that Peter would deny him and that his disciples would forsake him. And he would be arrested and mocked and spit upon, beaten, scourged, and crucified. This is what he had to look forward to. And yet he took the time to comfort his disciples and say, don't worry, trust me, everything's going to be okay. And that's his message to us today. Don't worry, trust me, let not your heart be troubled. Believe me. Now, these aren't just pleasant platitudes, but firm assurances based upon what he was going to accomplish when he went to the cross. He gave several thoughts here in this passage. First of all, he talked about peace. He says, let not your heart be troubled. The world cries for peace. It talks about peace every day, but there is no peace, is there? Things become worse and worse. Why? Because the world wants peace without the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus. And he offers peace to everyone that comes to him. And there's three kinds of peace. There's peace with God, which we all need, the forgiveness of sin and the knowledge of eternal life. The peace of God, which God gives to all his children when they trust him. And then peace on earth, which someday is going to come. In verse 27 of this chapter, it said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, the world gives peace that's based upon circumstances. We can have peace in the midst of a storm because it's peace in our hearts. He also talked not only about peace, but he talked about a place. In my Father's house are many mansions. And you know, when Jesus said that, I think his eyes brightened because he was looking forward to going home. And who would mind the journey if the road leads home? And he was thinking about that home that he had left. Down from his glory, he left the glory of heaven to go to the cross. He was born in a stable to die for us. And he was saying, my house, my Father's house has many mansions. In other words, my house at home has a lot of space and has room for everyone. All God's children will be at home in heaven. He said, if not, I would have told you. In other words, I'm telling you the truth. This is the way it is. There's a heavenly home for us, and it's a prepared place. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, we are, Connie and I are in the midst of remodeling the house, and upstairs there's one room that Connie wanted to have for our grandchildren, our girls, and she painted it pink, and it's going to have all this fancy stuff for our granddaughter Brielle and Allison. Now, that's not what I would choose, would it? Would I? I don't think I would. But it's, Jesus said, I'm preparing a place for you, which means it's not, for me, it's not going to be pink. Maybe camel or something, I don't know. But he cares about us individually. And he has a room, a place prepared especially for you that know him as Savior. He had a place prepared for Gary, because Gary had trusted the Lord as his Savior. I don't know what it is like, but it's going to be very special. It's going to be marvelous. It's going to be out of this world. As the song goes, I have a home beyond the river. I have a mansion bright and fair. I have a home beyond the river. I will dwell with Jesus there. And that's what heaven is going to be like. That's what it's going to make heaven. Heaven is that Jesus is there, our Savior, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. He talks about a parting. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Parting is what makes death so difficult, doesn't it? But for a believer, it's only temporary. It's only a short time. He says, I'm going, but I'm coming back. That's a promise. This isn't going to be for very long. If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's a promise, isn't it? Does Jesus keep his promises, or he just say, you know, make promises he doesn't keep? No. It's a wonderful promise, and it's for everyone who believes. It's not for everyone, but it's for everyone who believes. It says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, children of God, even to those that believe on his name. That's how you enter God's family, and God takes care of his family, and he has a big home. He's going to take you home to be with him because he loves you. John 11:25 says, Jesus said, I am the resurrection life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that lives and believes in me will never die. Meaning, so when a believer dies, he doesn't really die, he graduates to glory. Right at the presence of God. And so the moment Gary breathed his last breath, he went to be with the Lord. God has made us for eternity. We know that this life is not the end. Ecclesiastes says that God has put eternity in our hearts. We know there's something beyond this life. This life is too short, too empty, too difficult, too tragic to end with physical death. God made us for eternity. We have an eternal soul. And he also spoke of a person. In verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the way to heaven. You wonder how to get to heaven? Jesus is the way. Salvation is not becoming religious, joining a church, being baptized, or giving money. This church can't get anybody to heaven. Jesus can get people to heaven, but we can't. And you can jump through every religious hoop in the world and you'll never make it to heaven that way. You come to heaven, to heaven through Jesus. He that hath the Son has life. If you've trusted Jesus, it's a personal relationship between you and the Lord Jesus himself. You receive him. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. See, Gary realized that Jesus, when he died on the cross for him. And I remember sharing John 3:16 with Gary and putting his name in it. Because you can put your name in John 3:16, you know that? For God so loved Gary that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Gary would simply believe in him, he'd not perish but have what? Everlasting life as a gift. Because God so loved Gary, he loved him so much that he gave his Son. So even though Gary is greatly missed, we'll see him again, won't we? And you think he's enjoying his new home in heaven? You know, his body was pretty worn out, wasn't it? He had a difficult time, and the older we get, the harder things get, don't they? No way, Jose. He's safely in the arms of Jesus. And each of us can have that assurance right now, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So our loved one and friend, Gary, has gone to his everlasting home. And soon, perhaps very soon, we too will cross into eternity. We don't know, do we? Will you join Gary in glory? Jesus says, come unto me. Are you ready? And it's wonderful that we can know that we can have confidence because of the assurance given to us by Jesus here in this passage. He assures each of us a place, which is a prepared place. He gives his promise that he will receive us unto himself in love forever. May we all be comforted by these words. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we have a great God and a great Savior, the Lord Jesus, the one who loved us enough to go to the cross and die for us. And even as he hung on the cross, he could say, Father, forgive them. And so our sins do not keep us from heaven, but our rejection of the one who paid for our sins, the Lord Jesus himself. We thank you that his blood cleanses us from all sin. Even though our sins may be as scarlet, we may have done grievous things, we thank you that Gary understood that all those sins were under the blood. They were all paid for. And so he could be forgiven, and he could be welcomed into heaven because Jesus not only died, but he rose again with the power to give life to all that call upon him in faith. Pray that it be true of each one here today. And we again ask that you would comfort each heart here today. Thank you for all that have come out. Thank you for those who prepared the luncheon today. And we praise thee most of all for who you are, for being the God of love and grace. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, in closing, we're going to sing one of Gary's favorite songs, The Old Rugged Cross. And it's in your hymnal 247. 247, if you have, there should be hymnals in the rack in front of you there. Give you a chance to find them. Thank you, Mary Bird.